Your microphones are live.
Okay. Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, June 15th, 2011, San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. This is our last budget hearing, and this will focus on contributions to outside agencies. But before we begin, would you please join us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We will begin with Mr. Buckshy, I believe, or Mr. Grant. I'm looking at one of our esteemed administrators.
Well, we'll start the morning out with a report from the auditor's office in terms of what occurred on Monday.
Okay. Ms. McGarvey?
It was a quiet day Monday, if you remember correctly. Andrea McGarvey, auditor controller's office. Actually, budget-wise, it was a quiet day. The proposed budget was adopted as submitted, and the sub-doc items were adopted as submitted. The impact of those adoptions were a reduction to general fund contingencies of $68,383, leaving a balance of $14,422,086, or 3.96% of general fund appropriations. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. McGarvey. Any questions for Ms. McGarvey before we hand it over to...
Just one quick question.
Okay.
For Mr. Grant. And our policy for contingencies, the percentages...
We're at 4% right now. Actual policy is 5%, but over the last number of years, we've reduced that to 4% to help meet our budget goals.
Thank you.
All right. With that, Mr. Buckshy, are you ready?
I am, and very quickly hand it over to Ms. Schmidt for an introduction to the Fund Center 106.
Okay. Nikki?
And I am ready, too.
All right.
Good morning. I am Nikki Schmidt of the County Administrative Office, and I am here to present Fund Center 106 fiscal year 2011-12 budget. The recommended $1.9 million budget, which includes the supplemental document recommendation, will be used to fund district community project grants, community-based organizations, preventive health grants, and other agency miscellaneous type grants. Overall, we're recommending approximately $1.4 million in general fund support, and this is a 1.4% decrease from fiscal year 10-11 amounts. Funding from the tobacco settlement money is budgeted at prior year's amount. A total of 60 projects are recommended for funding. Of these, 21 or 35% are funded through tobacco settlement. The remaining 39 or 65% are funded through the general fund. The CBO Preventive Health Grant request for application was issued in December 2010. We received 62 proposals from 52 local nonprofit agencies requesting $1.6 million in funding. The next two slides illustrates the variety of criteria that was used to review the proposal. Site visits were also conducted on several of the organizations, and year-end reports were reviewed and used in the decision-making process. The recommended funding level of approximately $1 million is 2% less than the current year amount, and it will fund a total of 55 projects. Specifically, there are 34 projects, including those that benefit women, children and youth, assist senior citizen, and feed the hungry in the community-based organization category. The $708,000 in general fund support represents a 2.6% decrease from fiscal year 10-11 adopted levels. 21 projects totaling approximately $361,000 are recommended for funding in the preventive health grant category. Projects include programs for drug and alcohol recovery, domestic violence prevention and/or counseling, mental health crisis counseling, and a variety of prevention programs for teen and children. Programs within the other agency request section of Fund Center 106 cover a wide range of services, and the recommended funding of approximately $729,000 includes the supplemental document recommendation and is a 14% increase over fiscal year 10-11 amounts. Included in this category are programs that require a local match. funding for the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens, AAA, meets the Older Americans Act requirement to have a 25% public match. While funding for the Arts Council is proposed to decrease minimally, the recommended amount is about $4,000 over the state and local partnership program match requirement of $15,000. Funding for the county's state and federal advocates is also part of this category, and funding is recommended to remain at fiscal year 10-11 levels of $60,000 and $72,000, respectively. As shown in the previous slide, this category includes the county's share of funding for the Local Agency Formation Commission, known as LAFCO, per state statute. In April, the LAFCO Commission approved an overall budget that was essentially at fiscal year 10-11 amounts. The county's required share of $146,673 is a slight decrease from the current year levels. So the good news here is that we budgeted for an increase up to 5%, but with the actual amount actually being at fiscal year 10-11 levels, we have about $8,000 in unallocated funds for this fund center. We are recommending a $90,000 increase for the visitor service for Visitors and Conference Bureau, and this is part of the supplemental document recommendation. $50,000 is recommended to be used for the uniquely slow county cluster of the economic development strategy, while the remaining $40,000 is recommended to be used to promote county airports, parks, and golf courses. And at this time, the increase is considered to be one time, but the VCB will be working with staff to develop a marketing plan with measurable results and outcomes, and we're going to be reevaluating it throughout the fiscal year. And as always, never last, the District Community Project Grants Funds is recommended to remain at fiscal year 10-11 levels of $23,438 per supervisorial district. And current year funds remaining at the close of the fiscal year will be carried forward, and this is consistent with actions in the prior year. 92 projects totaling approximately $108,000 were funded in fiscal year 10-11, and those projects include contributions to arts and music programs, children's programs, safe and sober graduation celebrations, tourist-generating events, fundraiser for various nonprofits, and community advisory groups, among others. And that's the end of my presentation for this year, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Nikki. Nicely done. Supervisor Patterson.
Yes, thank you. On page D-106 in the budget, Nikki, it mentions the funding for our state legislative advocate as well as our federal lobbyist, and I'm curious to know why Public Works is contributing to our federal lobbyist. Half of the amount is actually coming from the Public Works Internal Service Fund, and I was just curious why they were contributing. I mean, I think I know the answer, but I thought it would be good for others to know that Public Works is actually contributing half of that.
That is in anticipation of what the federal lobbyist will do for the Los Osos project. They've worked a lot in the past few years on the Los Osos sewer project. And so that's just the anticipation that they will continue to be working on our behalf on that project.
Okay, and so we are anticipating there's additional need for them to focus on that project even though we've secured the funding?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, we're still pursuing grants under the Water Resources Development Act, and that's just Los Osos. Within the county, there are other public works projects like the Arroyo Grande levees that may come under the purview of the Army Corps, a lot of things that, you know, have a federal nexus that are public infrastructure. Okay. And while I have the floor, if I could just thank Nikki and her committee for a ton of work. I know this is always a very involved process with a lot of good competing proposals trying to service a huge need out in the community, and I thank you and the folks who participated from the bottom of my heart for all the effort that you put in to get it to where it is today.
Thank you.
Mr. Meacham.
Actually, that's exactly what I was going to say. I wanted to express my appreciation. I know this isn't easy, and typically we have more requests than we have money, so the pie gets a little bit sliced up more and more every year. So my hat's off to those of you that sit down and have to review all of these and then try to make these determinations.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, if there, Mr. Buckshy?
Yeah, I do have one issue that unfortunately I need to bring to your board's attention. As you know, and as you just mentioned, this is a group of volunteers that brings forth the recommendations for these services. These aren't actually brought forward by the administrative office. And we've had an issue where one of the recommendations that is contained here recommends reduced funding for North County Connections, which I'm sure we'll be discussing more later. As your board, I think, is aware, as you've received correspondence as well, upon receiving this information, North County Connections made some rather serious assertions about how the committee was run, alleging bias and incompetence, and then going a step further and alleging that Drug and Alcohol Services was not appropriately allocating its funding for that it's received through the state. And I want you to know that we took these very seriously. We looked into these assertions, as did the County Auditor Controller's Office, and we found them to be without merit.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Buckshy. Okay, if there are no further questions from board members for staff, we will open it up to public comment, and we have several requests to speak, and we will do what we can to accommodate you. And let me begin with Barbara Radovich and followed by Kim Pesciuto. And if you would all get ready, we will...
Do we have public comment on anything not on the agenda first?
No.
Okay.
Ms. Radovich?
Hi, good morning. My name is Barbara Radovich. I am the interim executive director of Arts Obispo, San Luis Obispo County Arts Council. As you know, we are the local arts agency that partners with the California Arts Council and with the County of San Luis Obispo to encourage local arts and cultural planning. Our goals are to create, present, and preserve the arts in all forms in the county to enrich the quality of life in our communities. The economic woes of the past few years have had an impact on us, as they have had on many individuals, organizations, and government agencies. We've felt the impact of the hard fact that there is simply less money available. But we have always worked hard to be efficient in our operations, and we'll continue to, with the help of amazing, supportive, and dedicated volunteers, to maintain the viability of our important programs. Programs that truly enrich people's lives, add vibrancy to the community. Programs that help the local economy by bringing community members and visitors out to engage in the arts and in with businesses. And programs that ensure that our children continue to receive instruction in the arts as part of their education. So on behalf of Arts Obispo, I would like to thank you for this financial support we have received in years past, and hope that you will approve the staff recommendation for funding for fiscal year 2011 and 2012. And so now, on a more global note, and I, as a former teacher, I have to include a visual. Earth without art would be eh. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Radovich. Ms. Radovich, I just wanted to let you know, and I see Mary Kay Harrington also from your organization here, that when you do the Open Studios, which is a very popular event in our county, please fill out a community funds request. I would have some funds to help Arts Obispo on that very
thank you very much.
Very popular event.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Pesciuto, followed by Scott Smith.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today. I'm here representing the Central Coast Agricultural Network, whose mission is to promote a sustainable local food system for San Luis Obispo County. We are an all-volunteer organization and the only organization in the county performing valuable services relating to food systems and economic opportunity for local agriculturalists. In 2010, 2011, we were the grateful recipient of a small grant from you, which we very much appreciate. We have completed our transition toward a systems approach to local food, expanding our leadership and collaboration with community organizations, such as assisting the food bank in securing a hunger-free communities grant. We held the kickoff meeting of the First County Food System Alliance, which was attended by over 40 community organizations last week. We also support Heal Slow in the achievement of the California Endowment Grant for Wellness Policy Implementation and provided a panel on food systems for their 2010 summit. We work with Cal Poly Center for Sustainability to complete a food resource guide and assist them in the kickoff of their new board activities. And we sit on the Uniquely Slow cluster for the EBC. We represent San Luis Obispo in state-level activities as well, like the California Farm to School Task Force and regional food hub initiatives. We've undertaken this last year specific projects like Know Your Farmer trading cards with a small grant from the Community Foundation. We begin distribution of those cards in August of this year. Farm to School feasibility study that's just about to be published by Cal Poly Ag Business Department, the City Farm Project in San Luis Obispo, and we're working towards the first mobile harvest unit in California. Mindful of your economic challenges, we ask today for a minimum level of support to maintain our much-admired website, to continue our community outreach, and promote economic opportunity for local agriculture. Thank you.
Ms. Prosciutto, when you say minimum amount?
We'd be happy to have the $8,000 that's left over from the from the LAFCO funds.
Oh, okay.
We're actually, what we're trying to do, honestly, is to achieve enough funds to hire an AmeriCorps volunteer to do the website work and the outreach that we find so important. That's about $10,000. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, followed by Mal Towery.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Board of Supervisors. My name is Scott Smith. I'm with People Self-Help Housing. I want to say that we're here to support the staff report. We're very appreciative of the funding that's recommended for our organization. Housing continues to be a very large problem on the Central Coast, and we're dealing with it every day. We have very long waiting lists for all of our programs. As most of you know, or all of you know, People Self-Help provides a home ownership program, which we just had a neighborhood cleanup day in South County, very successful. We also operate a significant amount of rental housing throughout the entire Central Coast, about 650 apartments here in San Luis County. And what we use your funding for that's recommended today is really to work with the neediest of families to get them into that rental housing, families that otherwise would never qualify. Specifically, it's to work with groups like CAPSLO, the Women's Shelter, and other organizations with the homeless families that really wouldn't have a chance to get into this housing. We use the funding to help support part-time social workers on our staff to work with those placements, to stabilize them, coordinate with mental health, alcohol and drug, food bank, other community organizations. And then once they're in the housing, to work with them when there may be a period of instability that reoccurs so we can prevent their eviction and maintain them housed. So we're very appreciative, and we thank you for your support of the entire community here.
Thank you, Scott. People Self-Help does a great job. Mal Towery, followed by Carl Hansen.
Good morning. I'm Mal Towery. I'm a member of the Board of Directors of the Area Agency on Aging, and I'm here to speak in favor of the staff's recommendations as to the matching funds for the agency. As you are aware, we provide somewhere in the neighborhood, and it's hard to say with the federal budget not being passed, but somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 million into the county for seniors. And without that matching funds, we'd be at serious risk. And I won't take up any more of your time. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to address them. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you, Mal. Carl Hansen, followed by Alan Reese.
Good morning, Chairman Hill, members of the board. I'm Carl Hansen with the Food Bank Coalition. I want to also thank Nikki and the committee for their recommendation. We're very honored to be continued as a recipient. And in the last 4 years, the volume of people who have been in need in our county has increased about 40%, and in the last 2 years, about 25%. And we've tried to respond to that need in spite of declining availability of low-cost food throughout the country. So much of the food that was the staple of food banks across the country in the last 4 or 5 years since I came with the food bank has pretty much dried up completely. That's largely shelf-stable food that is healthy, but it's shelf-stable. It's canned and packaged food. And food banks have therefore sort of turned that into an advantage by turning more to fresh produce as a way of supplying not only the increasing need but also responding to the health issues that have become so much on the table in terms of society as a whole. So our volume of fresh produce now is about 50% of the distributions that we have in it. We hope to be able to limit it to 50% because as healthy as it is, people can't eat, it doesn't last long enough for people to have healthy food for an extended period of time after they receive it from the food bank or from the agencies that we serve. So in the last year or two, we've been really focusing on local access of food, and the Hunger Free Communities Grant is one step in that direction to help form and lead the formation of an organization that is able to access local produce and at the same time contribute to the economy of the local farming community and also continue to provide healthy food, because even though through our state network of food banks we're able to get lots of produce, it's not as healthy because it's not as fresh, and it's not healthy to the environment as well to bring that much produce into the county. And the other thing we've helped to form is an organization called Glean Slow, so that we can access from not professional farmers, but perhaps the private farming community and gardeners and so forth, and increase the amount of exchange between people who are farmers and or gardeners and those who need the food, and the food bank can play a role in that, but not the whole role. So that's how we're responding to the need in most recent times. So thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Alan Reese, followed by Susan Warren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm Alan Reese. I'm with Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. I'm new to the county. I'm very happy to be here today. I'm here on behalf of Biz Steinberg, who's traveling out of state. And I just wanted to say that we are very grateful for the past support you've all given to our agency. We're very grateful to the committee for the recommendations that were made this year. As you all know, we're very committed to working with underserved, low-income, and aging population, and the grants that we anticipate receiving this year will address those issues. We're really very committed to all those populations, and we know that the challenges you face in making these decisions are very difficult. We really appreciate your support. We're going to work real hard to make certain that we maximize the support that you give us in providing the most services we possibly can. So I just want to thank you again, and on behalf of Biz, she's very grateful for the support that the supervisors have given us over the years. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. We have had a good partnership with CAPSLO. Supervisor Patterson's on the board. I've gotten the privilege of working closely with Biz and Grace McIntosh and Dee Torres on homeless issues, and it's a very positive relationship. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Susan Warren, followed by Jean Chinisi. I'm not sure if I'm saying
correct.
This correctly.
I'm Susan Warren. I'm with North County Connection as the part-time employee, which is the only employee. I'm also on the board of the Cambria Connection. These two programs were developed almost 25 years ago to serve a community need. And that community need is for people with substance abuse issues. And it can be anywhere from gambling to drug and alcohol, the whole gamut. Our primary purpose is to get those families engaged, because that's who we want to work with. And because if the family doesn't change, you can clean that alcoholic or drug addict up, and if they go back into the same environment, not saying that the families are using, but there's some behaviors there that don't bode well with someone in recovery. So it's a family disease. They all need to have some form of treatment. And that's why we were started, because we did not have enough treatment in some of our outlying areas, like Cambria, which was the first one. And in Atascadero, North County Connection has grown hugely, and we to where we have all kinds of parenting programs that we're offering to break that cycle of addiction, because it's not just about the person quitting drinking or using. It's about changing the family dynamics, and that's not an easy process, and it involves everybody from the two-year-old up to the grandparents. You know, it's a cradle-to-grave disease. Everybody's affected. What I want to speak to is we're in a very strange situation this year. We've been forced to try to acquire the property we're on. It was a former church. Since we've been there, we were originally co-located with drug and alcohol. Since we're on this site, it's just been a tremendous change. What I need to bring up at this point is that our people are volunteers. They're voluntary. The people that come and use our center, they call us on the phone, their parents, they're referred by schools, they're referred by doctors, they're referred by the emergency rooms. And some of them, their family refers them, or it's the family that's going crazy and calls for what can I do. We don't serve mandated populations. That's what drug and alcohol serves, the people that are caught up by the courts. We serve the rest of the community and those families. And like I said, if we're trying to come up with the money for a capital campaign that would make us sustainable, if we're unable to do that, and because of this cut, we're going to be unable to pay. We use this money to pay our basic operations and the rent and the insurance. That's it, and it only covers a third, two-thirds, actually. And the rest we get from the community. This could be our last year. This could definitely be our last year. So we ask that if we could at least go to last year's funding level, we were able to pull up some extra monies to help us get through this year. With a property acquisition, we could be sustainable. And I thank you for the property. The Board of Supes have contributed $35,000 toward our $185,000 down, and we really appreciate that. We're working with the city to see what they'll come up with. We would hope to not have to come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Warren.
One
question.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just for clarity, Ms. Warren, your comments here are on behalf of North County Connection?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Gene's going to speak to Cambria.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Chinichi, am I saying that correctly, or Chinese?
For you.
Oh, okay.
It's a hard one.
Followed by Anna Avon.
Good morning. My name is Jean Canici, and I'm representing Cambria Connection, and I am a member of the Board of Directors. There is more to the Cambria Connection than just an umbrella of 12-step programs. It's an all-volunteer community center that serves more than 100 adults and children a week, mostly from Cambria and San Simeon. We have a physical location where people can actually come. The volunteer staff includes professionals giving their time to the community, such as Rob Kontoff, who is an addiction specialist, and Lanny Erickson, who is an accountant and our treasurer. Excuse me. Each year, we try and do some activities for the youth as well as the recovering community. This year we're going to be presenting a feature called Teen Dorado, which is just for the teenagers, while Pine Dorado, which is the big thing in Cambria during the Labor Day weekend, so that they can have a safe environment to come to. When we have done this in the past, the law enforcement agencies were thrilled because there weren't any calls for them for any misbehaviors. We sponsor a clean and sober events such as a sober Super Bowl, sober New Year's Eve, Easter egg dye coloring. There are many attendees with families from grandparents all the way down to two-year-olds. We sponsor the Youth Coalition that includes donating school supplies and funds for class trips to youth who can't afford them. And we also work with the schools to help provide gym clothes for those people who can't afford them. Last year we asked for $27,000 and we're given $20,000. But to cut our grant to $12,000 would seriously jeopardize our ability to keep our doors open. I thank you for all that you have done and hope that we will be able to remain open for another year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Canici. Anna Avon, followed by Marie Brinkmeyer.
Good morning. My name is Anna Avon. Myself and Carol Porter are here today on behalf of Assistance League of San Luis Obispo County. Our organization has conducted Operation School Bell in the county since 1995. Operation School Bell is a program that provides new school clothing free of charge to grammar school children in need who are referred to us by school personnel, social service agencies, homeless shelters, and the Women's Shelter Program. The premise of the Operation School Bell program is that children will get the maximum benefit from their school experience if they feel good about their appearance. We maintain two facilities, one in Atascadero at the Santa Rosa Academic Academy and one in San Luis Obispo at the former Pacheco School campus. These facilities are provided to us rent-free by the school districts, and they are set up like a store where the children can come and make their own selections within our inventory. We conduct Operation School Bell outreach for the students that cannot come to one of our facilities due to an inability to find transportation. And we are currently doing outreach in the communities of Cambria, San Miguel, Shandon, Napomo, Oceano, and Grover Beach, with plans to open up outreach to Morro Bay and Los Osos in the coming year. Each child that gets the services of Operation School Bell gets new clothing, two complete new school outfits, including shoes, a jacket, a book of their choice, new socks and underwear. And the cost to provide this service is $80 per child. We've been able to keep this cost low because we are an all-volunteer organization. We have absolutely no paid staff, no administrator. All of our administration and staffing is done by our members, and our fundraising efforts, grant writing, and event planning are also done by our volunteer members. The money that we receive through the donations and grants goes directly to purchasing inventory for Operation School Bell. During the 2010-11 school year, we have clothed nearly 1,200 of the county's most disadvantaged students in grades K through 6. We have now been able to expand the service to include 7th and 8th grade students with a companion program, Sue Stars, which began in 2009. And we've also had successful collaborations with the Paso Robles, Atascadero, and San Luis Coastal School districts in clothing homeless teens within those districts. We thank the county of San Luis Obispo, the Board of Supervisors and staff, and the committee recommendations for your past support of the Operation School Bell program, and we look forward to partnering with you again in the coming year through the community-based organization grant program.
Ms. Haven, if you could hold on just a second, Supervisor mm-hmm. Meacham would like.
Just had a quick question, if I could. I know that REMAX does a big thing up in Paso Robles for the kids every year for clothing and everything. They go through Target, I think, to do that. Is that in coordination with your organization?
No, actually, there are service organizations and businesses that may do that, a special event one time a year or
right.
maybe two times a year. Operation School Bell is ongoing
okay.
throughout the year. We clothe solid from the beginning of August through November, and then in between as needed. When our inventory starts getting broken up, then we can't offer the full complement of clothing through the whole school year, but we always will take cases that are emergency in nature and we'll accommodate them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Brinkmeyer, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to speak. I come to you to say thank you very much for your consideration of our grant request. I want you to know that not only does our SVP, the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, provide more than 1,500 volunteers throughout the county and northern Santa Barbara County, but we support almost every nonprofit and government agency, schools, police departments, you name it, our volunteers are there. And they gave more than 190,000 hours last year of community service. In addition to those volunteers working so hard, our group served as a catalyst in the development of the Good Neighbor Program, which we took from just the beginning when we were told that the in-home support services were very likely to be cut drastically for those people in the area who are most in need. And so a consortium of agencies got together and happily returned that program over in a turnkey way to Wilshire Community Services last September. We're making every effort to work with the veterans population this year. That will be our focus. So again, I say thank you for your past support. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But otherwise, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Brickbauer. No, I didn't see any questions, but thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Greening, followed by James Statler.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I'm speaking as an individual and not at the behest of any organization. I'm very glad you found $90,000 extra dollars somewhere for the VCB, because they're a very effective organization, and certainly it pays off many times over in visitation. And close to half of what they're spending will be to implement the uniquely San Luis Obispo County cluster strategies of the economic strategy. And I continue to believe that, good as it is, it's incomplete to the extent that it doesn't include the arts. And we were all here when we had that discussion. Mr. Manchak's response was that it was not an oversight, that the non-inclusion of the arts community was not an oversight, that it was deliberate, that it was based on the assumption that when we reach a level of prosperity where the arts can be supported, then we'll invite them in and spill over to them. And I would posit that the arts are far more than a recipient of prosperity. They are a major generator of prosperity. The arts can create value out of essentially nothing except human creativity and whatever materials are needed in the form of musical instruments, art supplies, and so on, all of which, by the way, are purchased and benefit the economy. The arts create value. We're going to have people from all over the world coming to the California International Choral Festival and competition, Festival Mosaic, the Plein Air Festival. And so in recognition of the fact that the VCB is being asked to implement an incomplete strategy, my position remains that we should not see a decrease in funding to Arts Obispo at the same time as there is a surprise increase in funding to VCB. And maybe rather than take it out of VCB, because I think they can use every penny they get, I suggested that at least Arts Obispo could get a tenth of what the VCB is getting, because the arts are at least a tenth of our locally generated, uniquely San Luis Obispo-ness. There is now a source on the table that's close to a tenth of what was available, the spillover from LAFCO. And I would urge you to consider giving some or all of that to Arts Obispo as a recognition that the uniquely San Luis Obispo County strategy is incomplete without the arts, in recognition that Arts Obispo has in the past worked collaboratively with the VCB, and in recognition of all the benefits, economic and otherwise, that our county's artists and art organizations bring to our county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. James Statler, followed by Priscilla McKessel.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here before you today. I'm James Statler, a new executive director with the Community Counseling Center. The Community Counseling Center's mission is to build and support emotionally strong families, individuals, and community through confidential, affordable counseling, education, and advocacy. Organization has been around since 1968. We're coming to the end of the fiscal year here in June, and our numbers are looking at about 1,400 referrals to our organization. About 1,000 of those will receive intake and low-cost counseling. Another 400 will be referred out to other linked agencies. You know, what Community Counseling Center has a unique niche in the community. It's a mental health safety net. It's really a therapeutic catchment area for individuals who don't qualify for services through county mental health. These aren't individuals who have a severe or chronic mental illness. They're individuals who might be experiencing transitions in life, crisis, trauma, depression, anxiety. And our counselors are providing short, brief, low-cost counseling for those individuals, and we're seeing great outcomes, you know, increased coping skills, more attendance at work and at school for our youth. Just to provide an anecdotal, I've only been really with the organization for about 2 weeks now, but we had an individual, a gentleman who his wife had left the family. He had three children, was unemployed, and after the services actually wrote down in his survey, you know, that the skills and the support that I received here have allowed me to write my resume again and get the confidence to be back out there pursuing work. So I think that really speaks to the power of what's taking place. And, of course, the other piece is we're a volunteer-based organization. We've got 60 clinicians, two-thirds of who are licensed, one-third of who are interns and trainees through Cal Poly, Pacifica, Antioch, an array of universities that are donating over 7,000 hours of counseling time each year, which amounts to about $700,000 in in-kind donations. So really, I stand before you in recognition or in representation of an organization that I feel very strongly about. I thank the staff for their recommendation and the past grants that we've received. And I thank you. I hope that the CBO grant continues to be a part of Community Counseling Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Statler. Appreciate it. Ms. McKessel?
Hello. My name's Priscilla Mikesell.
Okay.
Close enough.
I was going to be corrected on that. Thank you.
Anything but late for dinner. In any event, I really want to thank you all because I understand you're doing a very difficult job. It's hard handing out limited funds when we're all in need. I want to speak to you about the Cambria Connection. As both Jean and Sue mentioned, we are serving approximately 100 people a week. There are 40 12-step programs, but there's really a great deal more that goes on there. We have helped hospice in the past. There are vision services that are provided. We hope to provide senior legal services work there. And the other wonderful thing is the Sober Grad Night. And we do have the Teen Center there, which is a partnership with the YMCA. people's lives are being changed by this type of a community center. And along with the North County Connection, many of us have been involved for about 20 years. I'm coming up on 20 years clean and sober, and it would not be the case were it not for this community center. I don't know how many of you were able to find out about the Health Commission meeting Monday night where Dr. Hurton spoke, and there are productive members of our community that are out there and that are able to participate and are not a drain on health services, are working more effectively. And both churches and health organizations and different parts of the community are affected in a more positive way by what has been provided there. We have also in the past been able to provide family psychological counseling. So we just beseech you to please keep up the levels of what we were able to get in the past. When the grant was cut from 20 to 27, from 27,000 to 20,000, it was hard to manage, but 12,000 would really not keep us in existence, and we'd really provide a fine service. So I know it's difficult for you, but we'd really appreciate your continued support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Meixel. That is all the requests I have to speak, so I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the board for deliberation. And certainly, as was mentioned before, we have many incredibly valuable organizations that we try to help. We have increasingly limited funds, unfortunately, is the truth of it. And the committee that meets and looks at this and vets all of the applications and makes decisions works very hard, and I think that they're very Ms. Schmidt leads them, and I know that they're very sensitive to how difficult it is to, none of the reductions should be ever interpreted as lack of appreciation for the importance of your programs. That's important to stress, I think. So, with that said, I'll entertain some deliberations. Mr. Meacham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well said in terms of the needs out there and the lack of funding to provide that. I'm gonna stay with the recommendations here with two suggestions, mm-hmm. And mainly because I'm pretty hard line on cutting back into the reserves. I see 3.96% right now. Our policy is at 4%. So tapping further into our reserves or contingencies is not going to be part of my recommendation. But I do see the two significant declines in contributions were to North County Connections and to the Cambria Connection. And I would suggest that we would take that $8,000, split that in two, and provide both of those organizations with that funding to assist them. That'll be my suggestion.
Okay. Thank you for that. Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Supervisor Meacham has identified two that I thought were very important. I am not quite so hardline. We do have reserves. We are talking about a tiny fraction of the overall budget. And what I note as I read through the organizations and their programs on these pages is we get extraordinary leverage here. We're looking at, in many cases, all-volunteer organizations. We get the leverage not only in the other funds that they raise, but also in the fact that we are getting the benefit of folks who are contributing this of their own free time and good heart. I'd like to consider Cambria Connection and North County Connection. They are separate organizations with some amount of shared resource, but they're governed by separate boards, as I understand it, and serve different communities. I am supportive of both. I am concerned to an extent about the comments that Mr. Buckshy made regarding allegations made from North County Connection, and it goes in my mind, to the nature of engaging the county process in a constructive fashion. I want to give the benefit of the doubt there, because the people that both these organizations serve are the focus here, and I think that the folks do get good service from them. I would be completely comfortable moving funding back up to the $20,000 a year that was provided to them last time. I think that that provides a base level of service that is appropriate and far from being lavish. So I would entertain those that discussion with colleagues. I think we have the question of contingencies separate from the question of reserves. Supervisor Patterson mentioned to me a while back that we do have the tax reduction reserve, which is that buffer that we have for hard times, and I'll let him speak more about that. But I think that within there, we certainly have the small amount of dollars to make whole the programs that are reaching out to folks who are struggling with addiction. The other program was Central Coast Ag Network, and I think that there's a connection there that I would like to see strengthened, and that's between the local fresh produce, which has an economic connection to our local agricultural community, and the healthful effects of that as it goes into the schools in particular. And I've read through their application, and they do a lot of very good things with outreach. I would like to see some increase in amount there, potentially up to the $5,000 that they received last year, that is really targeted at getting going on the ground with fresh food into schools. They have wonderful support letters, and I know Supervisor Patterson wants to speak a little bit to that. So I'll leave that on the table as well as the other item that I think deserves some consideration.
Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak to the two organizations that my colleagues have mentioned, three organizations, North County Connection, the Cambria Connection, and CCAN. I, too, would support restoring the same amount of funding to the North County Connection and the Cambria Connection as we provided last year. That was $20,000 for each organization. I've tracked the funding for those organizations over the past several years, and we have reduced it substantially over what they got a few years ago. And I know that they use it basically to just provide a venue or a place for people can meet. And I am concerned that if we don't provide that basic level of support, that they'll struggle to keep their doors open, as was mentioned by a couple of the speakers this morning. I am a little bit concerned about North County Connection's assertions about how the process that we use to determine the funding for these various organizations is carried out. I have met the people that volunteer to read the grants. They're committed to serving the community. They're all engaged at some level in doing just that. And I appreciate that service and the guidance that Nikki Smith, from our administrative office, provides to them in that process. And it's not a constructive way to change a process to just launch criticisms towards it. And I think that we need to work more constructively together to meet the needs of these nonprofit service organizations in our county. And I concur with Supervisor Gibson that the organizations that we're hearing from this morning and that we're funding through this Fund Center 106, we get great value. They use the money that we contribute, many of them, to leverage additional funding from the private sector as well as from other governmental agencies. And in many cases, this is just seed money for them to carry out their operations effectively. We also get the benefit of the volunteer services that are provided by the many people that form these organizations and provide these services for us. They're doing, in many instances, what government doesn't and what government can't do as effectively and as efficiently. So I think every penny we invest in these organizations is money well spent. The other organization I wanted to speak to is the Central Coast Ag Network. And the late Ann McMahon, while she served as my legislative assistant in 2005 and 2006, pulled a group of people together to form this organization that would educate the community about the need to work with our agricultural community to provide local food and to provide marketing opportunities for our local agriculturists. And CCAN was formed from that effort, and we funded it that first year and have continued to do so, and it has really blossomed. We have letters of support for that organization from two Cal Poly organizations that are working as part of that coalition now. The North County Farmers Market Association is working with them. And it's just the food bank. Carl Hansen, their director, is also involved with this program. And I think that we should continue funding. It services the economy, agriculture, and health. It also is a continuation of the effort that the Board of Supervisors formed several years ago when we convened the Childhood Obesity Prevention Task Force.
And so how much do you want to put in the pot for this?
Well, you know, this is the only thing we have on the agenda, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I saw Mr. Seabach ready to chastise us, so I just didn't.
Well,
this might be a strategy to.
Okay, I'm getting close to the end here. I'm making a case.
I'm going
to
ask for some money. You're going to stock yourself out of a sale if you keep going.
Okay. We'll speak to where the funding comes from. Supervisor Gibson mentioned the tax reduction reserve account. We have $11.4 million in that account, that reserve account that was established four times when our tax revenue was down. And we've experienced that the last 2 years. We only used $1.7 million of that this year, leaving a balance of $11.4 million. We anticipate using even less the next 2 years if our predictions hold forth. And so I wouldn't have reservations taking a few thousand from that $11.4 million to augment these programs. And I agree that we should keep our contingency at 4%, so I would recommend that any additional funding could come from the tax reduction reserve. And so I would recommend that we fund CCAN at the same level we did last year, which is $5,000, and would support funding both North County Connection and Cambria Connection at $20,000 each.
Okay. I'll hold on.
Thank you for the indulgence.
Well, I think I did see Mr. Seabach sleeping at one point, but that's it.
No, he's meditating.
Meditating.
He's meditating. Mr. Seabach, well, yep. And then I'll go to Mr. Teixeira. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jerry Seabach, Auditor Controller. I wanted to make a suggestion just out of my own pique, I'm sure, that the North County connections, maybe reduce them from last year by $1,000 or something, to represent the staff time that the county many departments had to rush around responding to some pretty off-the-wall, outrageous allegations that could have been handled with some dialogue in a lot better, easier fashion. And it also, without sanctioning them in any significant way, it does show that you're supporting your committee process. And if we didn't have those committee people working, I think Nikki would be run into the ground trying to do it without the help of those volunteers. So you need to listen to them. You know that. And so that's one idea. In other words, I'd like to bring back up the spay and neuter program.
I've been working with animal regulation for many, many years, and we have had great success in reducing the kill rate at that shelter over the years. It was very, very high in the old days, and the vouchers do help people that wouldn't otherwise get their animals spayed or neutered. Maybe give them something less than they had. Maybe direct Dr. Anderson and his staff to maybe restructure. It seems like the grants, I think, got to be maybe too much. I don't think they need $100 to encourage somebody to have an operation done. A responsible owner should pay something toward that. So that's my two cents, and I appreciate the opportunity to throw in. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Seebach. Mr. Teixeira.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. I echo the comments of my colleagues on the North County Connection, the Cambria Connection. I think now more than ever we need these services in our areas and throughout the county. Having been raised in the South County for almost all my life, you see a difference of the way people live and things happen, and I think these type of groups bring significantly to the table a difference in the community and the helpfulness in the community that we need right now with the way the economy is. As far as the Ag Network, I too would support money going back to that. I think that's a needed entity here in the county, and I see them working with the food bank and others to make our county whole and make it better for those that need it.
Thank you. I wanted to weigh in on a few things, too. To Mr. Greening's remarks that he's made a couple of times, in terms of the arts and the economic development strategy, I think Mr. Menchak's, what he was trying to explain wasn't that the arts were deliberately left out. It was more a employer-based clusters. With that said, however, I do think, I agree with you that the arts should have, you know, should be represented, and I'll recommend that in future cluster meetings that we do have somebody representing. I know there is the arts, can't remember if I know Supervisor Meacham, I had breakfast at Arts Obispo with the various, with the organization. Slow Cats, right. So I think having somebody from that, whoever the president that year is, would be useful. Speaking to that, then, with the money that we are providing to the VCB, I think if we can fold in some ways, we have a good website with the VCB. If we had because it is true that the arts is a factor in what makes our community such a desirable destination. And perhaps when we work with, I'm very supportive, and I thank admin, particularly Mr. Grant, for finding a way to increase the VCB funding at this very crucial time of great attention in our county and a lot of good plans that the VCB folks have brought forward, but I do think the arts needs to be highlighted. We do have many festivals north and south and in San Luis that are very attractive to people, and I would like to see that in some ways part of the marketing campaign too, and I think they know that well. There's great things going on with in arts in the parks in Paso and the Festival Mosaic and all these things that bring a lot of people from out of town. So if we could make sure as part of the VCB funding that they do include the arts as part of their promotional activities, maybe even on the website, I think that would be useful. And did you want to weigh in on that as well?
I did, because okay. You raise a good point, and I wanted to address that to Mr. Greening. This economic strategy did not exclude people purposely. What it did is focused more on the 70% growth of businesses and who were the ones that generated that growth. And so that's where those clusters came into effect. And along the same lines, if we now that we would be funding a little bit more to the EBC, they do have website capability. And I noticed on the Central Coast, the Ag Network, that part of what they're asking for is education campaign promoting local agriculture and branding through the expansion of a website and newsletter. I think that can also be accomplished through the EBC as well with the Uniquely Slow, because that's all part of it as well. So I just wanted to get clarity to this economic strategy, because there's been a couple of comments made that I don't think are quite accurate.
Right. Okay, and continuing on, I'm the way I'm going to approach things, and I'll support what seems to be, you know, generally speaking, the same requests. I'm going to try to use, and I would hope that my colleagues will support me when they come up on consent agenda, as much of my community funds, rather than dipping into our reserves, to fund important causes both within my district, as I continue to do with a number of organizations in the South County, including the People's Kitchen and such. I also am going to underwrite the holiday fundraising card for Maxine Lewis and new lockers at Prado, and we'll be happy to contribute money for the Open Studios tour, and we'll be happy to work with as many groups as I can and make my community funds go as far as they can. I'm certainly supportive of the requests. It looks like we have, depending on whether we agree with Mr. Seabock's $1,000 penalty, which I kind of like the idea considering how annoying and outrageous those emails and demands were, though something tells me we can expect to get more of them after today, which perhaps we should have a sliding scale of how much. That said, we're looking at essentially with the $15,000 increase to, you know, $7,500 to North County Connection and $7,500 to Cambria Connection, and then $5,000. And I do think the Central Coast Ag Network is very deserving of this. I think they're doing a lot of exciting things and working well with a lot of groups, and I think that is also an important thing for us to fund. I'm supportive of that as well. So if that's the case, we're looking at, well, I don't know how my colleagues feel about Mr. Seabock's suggestion.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
I'll put the burden on you.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to Mr. Grant here.
Thank you,
actually.
Jim Grant, yeah. Administrator. What you are looking at right now is about a $20,000 increase.
Right.
In this particular fund center.
Mm-hmm.
We have $8,000 of
Savings
right now. So you're looking at a $12,000 increase, and if you're suggesting to take it out of the tax reduction reserve, it would be a $12,000 reduction to that.
That was, that pot of money I will credit Supervisor Patterson with. I didn't expect to speak before him, but I certainly think that's as reasonable contingencies. It would have probably a second decimal place change in the percentage of contingencies. I think it's really six to one, half a dozen the other. But I think that the questions of the allegations made by North County Connection do require some serious conversation here to preserve the integrity of the committee process. And as we said in our opening remarks, that committee does extraordinary work, and the suggestion that they were biased is absolutely unfounded in what I saw in the way that they moved through their process. And so Mr. Seabock's idea of a sort of $1,000 penalty has a visceral appeal to it on the one hand. On the other hand, it's $1,000 that doesn't go to supporting people who seriously need these services. And so I'm torn. I feel that we're placed in a rather difficult situation on this, and could potentially go either way, but I think I tip slightly toward restoring the funding to its previous level, which in the course of things causes these kinds of programs to slip behind slightly, with my displeasure noted at the tone of the of the comments that were made forward there.
Mr. Meacham, we don't need to kill this one to death if we don't have to.
No, we don't. And I don't think that we should penalize, in a sense, for the comments of one as opposed for the organization. So I think that as much as I – now going to the tax reserve area, I'll go there with that. So I'm going to be supportive of the $7,500 for each and the $5,000 for the Ag Network. That's where I'll go.
Yeah, and I think it's well said. I think Mr. Gibson laid it out, you know, viscerally, but we need to make rational decisions. I do think that if the folks who are involved in North County Connection, we just for the rest of you, not only were these emails rather disrespectful to the process. They were one that I was looking at was offensive at the deepest level. It was racist. It was anti-Semitic. It was homophobic. I mean, wow, it really covered the base of offending just about everybody. So we're not going to tolerate that kind of, that kind of behavior, but we don't want to. I agree, it's not good to punish. Hopefully they will take steps to make sure that they work in a more respectful and constructive manner. So with that said, we do really, just to end on this, we do appreciate all of the good work that our organizations do, and we encourage you to continue, as some of, I think, our organizations have been really creative in collaborating and working together with other organizations. There's really, at this point, there is no excuse for not finding greater efficiencies and savings, and better ways to make certain organizations work well together. So we try to encourage it, and if we can be of any help on that regard, we certainly would do so. So with that, I think we have staff direction clear.
Yeah. Yes, staff direction is clear. Let me mention one other thing
okay.
that Mr. Seebach brought up about the animal services.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We do have staff direction to work with animal services to bring back a report to your board concerning that and whether or not we recommend some additional dollars in some fashion. But that will come later.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'll move tentative approval of Fund Center 106 with the recommended changes.
I'll second that.
And if there is no further discussion,
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Meacham.
Okay, thank you.
Moved by Supervisor Patterson, second by Supervisor Meacham. And we will have a roll call on our tentative approval here.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
And just quickly, everybody talks about the difficult decisions we have. Nikki and her group make it much easier for us. Their decisions are the toughest ones. Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes. Thank you, and keep up the hard work and the good work that you do in your community, and we do greatly appreciate it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
and then we will now adjourn until next week
right.
when we bring back the final budget documents for approval by mm-hmm. your board.
So join us again at 9 a.m. on Tuesday next week, and we will move forward. Thank you very much.